Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word tonight, this the third Wednesday in the season of Lent, is the lesson I just read for you from Luke chapter 2, 21 to 35. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, there is an old saying, once a mother, always a mother. Once a mother, always a mother. Now, I do not know of a similar statement for men. Once a father, always a father. Not that there aren't good husbands and fathers out there, it just doesn't somehow ring right, does it? I think there's a recognition that there's something special about the relationship between a mother and her children. As a matter of fact, we even have a special day to celebrate it. We celebrate Mother's Day. Now, someone will say, yes, but we also celebrate Father's Day, too. And I will say in response, oh, really? Mother's Day is the big one. Yeah, I'm a father, and I'm not mad at it. But yes, once a mother, always a mother, right? There's a special relationship there. You know, from what we know of her, certainly that would describe Mary, the mother of our Lord. As we talk tonight about carrying your cross, take up your cross, and tonight we talk about Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus. Before we talk about Mary, though, we have to be honest and admit that from the outset, the Bible does not devote a whole lot of space to Mary. It just doesn't. Certainly much less attention is given to her than numerous other characters in the Bible. You can think of various ones. And certainly much less attention is given to her in the Bible than the Christian church would later on give to her, where Mary began to be called the Blessed Virgin and someone that you bring your prayers to. You don't find that in God's holy word. No, the descriptions of Mary are small and brief and sort of far apart from each other, but with what little we have, even with that, you can begin to sketch something about her. You can trace a few things. Like you remember the wedding of Cana, John chapter 2, and there's a trouble that goes on at the wedding of Cana. What is it? What happens? They ran out of wine, and so Mary comes to her son and says, what? They have no wine. All right, what is he supposed to do about that? What is his role in all of that? But Mary is, that's Mary. She's looking at her son, and she's kind of trying to guide him along. You turn to Mark chapter 3. You also find a very interesting account there. It says, then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not able even to eat. And when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he's out of his mind. Then there's a little gap in the book of Mark, but then it goes on with this. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. His mother and brothers. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around Jesus, and they told him, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. And Jesus asked, who are my mother and my brothers? Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. What you have recorded there in those words from Mark is probably our first record, maybe in human history, of what we would call today an intervention. The family is going to intervene in a situation they think is not good. And actually, if you look at it, in both instances, Mary is intervening. She's moving her son along, pushing her son along. She's steering his path in a certain direction. Actually, in what I just read for you, she tries to block his path and keep him from going a certain direction, the path that he was on. And you can understand it because once a mother, always a mother. And don't doubt that Mary had hopes and dreams for her son. What were those hopes and dreams? Well, probably those hopes and dreams involved a nice young lady from the neighborhood. Maybe they involved grandchildren toddling in the backyard. Maybe they involved several generations, if not under one roof, at least in the same village. Hopes that involved a normal life, a reasonable life, the way life's supposed to be, the way it's supposed to work out. And if it's going to happen, somebody's got to take charge of her son. Somebody has to intervene. Well, those were very possibly her hopes. But on a deeper level, there were also her fears. Fears for the safety and well-being of her son. Fears that began with that haunting prophecy from Simeon, a man righteous and devout who held up the baby Jesus in his arms. And what did he say? He said, "A sword, Mary, will pierce your own soul too. Because this child is placed for the falling and then for the rising of many in Israel. And he will be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." This child is being put in a certain position. He's being put in the line of fire. He will be landed into a hot zone like soldiers dropped into a hot landing zone, because no sooner will he begin his mission than the bullets will start to fly, and his work will mean a downright ugly fight for 3 years straight. His work will mean the destruction of his own people as they understood it, because no longer is it going to be a matter that there is a separate nation or ethnic group called the Jews. It won't matter anymore. Instead, what's going to matter is, do you know him? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? From the get-go, he would be spoken against, plotted against, worked against, reviled, rejected. There would be no comfortable neutrality about the Lord Jesus. The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And the question will be for each and every person that meets him still to this day, do you belong to the Lord or do you not belong to the Lord? There's only two categories that you can fall into. And where is it all going to end? It will end in this life for Mary standing before the cross of her son. I am sure that every fiber in her being wanted to intervene, wanted to interfere, because once a mother, always a mother. And yet with all of her actions that are so obvious in their motivation, it's easy to miss something else, and that is not Mary intervening in things, but the Lord's intervention in Mary. The Lord's intervention with Mary. We saw that 2 weeks ago when we talked about Moses, the man of might and the man of learning, the man who was great in the land of Egypt, and how he was crushed by a cross to the point where he came to realize, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Last week we saw the cross crushing Jeremiah, the man who is the sensitive man, bringing home to him that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And now you have Mary. What is her cross? What crushes her? What is the sword that passes through her and in a way puts her to death? Her own son would put it into words in the Garden of Gethsemane, that by the cross that Mary had to carry regarding her son, she would end up saying, "Father, if it be your will, take this cup away. However, not my will, but thine be done." And what you see there is that there is something beyond even a mother's love higher even than a mother's love. Something before which a believer in the Lord, just like Mary had to, has to bow. And what is it? Well, it is a father's love. Or maybe better, the Father's love. Our Heavenly Father's love. The Father's love which knows better than even the best of earthly mothers and fathers. The Father's love which goes beyond where any human being can go. So great that it goes beyond protecting his son. It doesn't stop with just protecting his child. Instead, it goes all the way to sacrificing his child so that rotten and undeserving sinners could be washed clean, including you and me in this room. And not only that, it's the same Father's love which daily works in us and brings about sometimes entirely different directions than your hopes or your plans or your fears, but always good directions, the best directions, the eternal directions. It's true. Once a mother, always a mother, that is undeniable. But can we add something to that? Or maybe in faith, can we let that bow before something else? That as you stand before the cross of your Savior Jesus Christ, you see once your Father, always your Father. Once your Father, always your Father, who wills beyond your will, who loves beyond your love, who sacrifices everything so that all men and all women be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.